1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. And that's where we are today in our series, the second installment in our series on this love chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Last week, love is patient and kind, and today, love does not envy. And I'm going to use some sister words for envy, some sister words like jealousy and covetousness. Someone has said that there's only two classes of people in this world. It's people who are millionaires and people who want to be millionaires. Now, I assume they're talking about a person who is so jealous about the possessions that another person has that they covet those possessions. Now, this is the 10th of the 10 commandments in Exodus 20. God said, God wrote it in stone, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Some misguided soul might say that because this is the 10th of the 10 commandments, it must be the worst of all of the sins that we could commit. It's number 10. That's, of course, not true. They're all equally bad in God's eyes. But since God chose to include this one in the 10 commandments, thou shalt not covet, he must have been trying to say, I'm taking this one extremely serious. Love does not envy. Be careful what you covet. It may bite you. For instance, there was a young man who craved a fast, exciting sports car. And he bought the fastest and most exciting one he could find. He was so proud of that car, and he took it out for a drive, and he stopped at a traffic light. And there before him was an open road, no traffic, no cars. He started revving that motor. An old man came up beside him riding a moped. The old man looked at that car and thought, wow. The window was down, and the old man leaned over to the young guy, and he said, "That's a pretty nice car you got there, fella." And he said, "Yes, it's the fastest, best car one can buy with their money." And the old man said, "Can I look inside?" So he came over, and he stuck his head through the window, and he looked at the car. He turned green with envy. And then he went back to his moped. He said, "Yes, that's one fine car." Well, the light turned green. So the young man decided, "I'm going to do it." Boom! And then he shot out, and as fast as he could, he was reaching 100 miles an hour. He looked in his rearview mirror, and he saw a dot. And the dot was coming closer. And it concerned him. It could be a cop. So he slowed down. And pretty soon, something went right past him. Vroom! Faster than his car. He couldn't believe it. And he looked in front of him, and that dot had turned around. It was coming back towards him. And as it came towards him, he realized it's the old man on the moped. How can that possibly be true? Zoom! He went behind him again. And then he started coming back behind him, and he slammed into the car. And he fell onto the pavement, and the young man got out of his car, and he said, "Sir," he said, "is there anything I can do for you?" And he said, "Yes, son, please unsnap my suspenders from your side view mirror." Be careful what you envy. Now, there was an earlier quote about people who are millionaires and people who aren't millionaires, and that was talking mostly about adults, and we all know that children are not susceptible to jealousy. Not. Jealousy is one of those traits that it's in our DNA. We're born with this. Have you ever watched little children playing on the floor with their toys with other little children, and somebody gets their toy? They can be so obnoxious in the way they handle that. Watch them as a new brother or sister comes into the home, and how they surround that little brother or sister with all kinds of love and acceptance, and they never are jealous of one another. They love to share everything with all the other little brats, I mean children. They glow with appreciation for all of them. Jealousy and envy are in us from the beginning, and we children do not grow out of it. Watch God's children in elementary school. Watch God's children in high school. Watch God's children in college. Watch them in their jobs. Watch them in their marriages. Watch them in churches. We are all little brats. We are in the process of growing up, but we have never grown up. We are born with this sin in us, and we're good at it. Some of us have more mileage on us than others in this room, but none of us have been able to get rid of that ugly sin of envy, jealousy, covetousness. God knows that. And therefore, he put it in the Ten Commandments, and he wrote it in stone. You parents and you grandparents, got a few in here, you're looking at your children and your grandchildren, and you're seeing a younger version of you. Ouch. Looking in the mirror. Now, most of us in here are married, or we have been married at one time or another. And of course, we know that envy and jealousy never enter a Christian marriage. Not. I think that newlyweds are kind of exempt from this because they're so caught up in love. And love is one of the deepest hungers that we have in our lives. We all need to be loved. We are hungry to be loved. And when you're on the honeymoon, the love is everywhere. But after the honeymoon is over, have you noticed how some things begin to smell a little funny around here? It happens in almost all marriages. Perhaps the wife stays home and the husband goes to work, and she starts feeling that he gets to use all of his education and all of his skills while she has to scrub the floors and do the laundry and maybe take care of those little brats at home, and she gets jealous. On the other hand, he has to fight the commute. He has to fight the deadlines. He has to work with that awful boss, and he's saying, she gets to stay home. Jealousy and envy. Here's another one. Perhaps one spouse can eat 3 desserts and not gain weight. Ah, jealousy. Now, perhaps one spouse gets a great job while the other one is dealing with a lousy job. Envy. Perhaps one spouse gets along wonderfully with their parents while the other spouse just can't seem to ever do anything right in the eyes of mom and dad. Resentment. Envy. Jealousy, you know what I'm saying. And God knows what I'm saying. And God said, thou shalt not envy. In the NIV, he said, you shall not envy. In the context of the Ten Commandments, God was talking about those people who wish that they had $1 million and don't. But he said, don't envy anything. Don't envy anything that belongs to your neighbor. And then Jesus expanded on it. He said, love your neighbor. Don't envy them. Love them. Love them as you love yourself. And then Paul expanded on that. He said, love does not envy. There's an even worse form of envy than just wanting something that somebody else has, and that's not wanting them to have it either. You begin to resent the fact that they have something that you want. This is the kind of envy that can lead to the darker side of us, and it can lead to people becoming mean-spirited. That's putting it mildly sometimes. You may not even realize it. Often we don't realize our sin, but other people can see it in us. They can hear it in us. Has anyone ever said to you that the words that just came out of your mouth were offensive? And when that happens, the first thing that most people discover is that they become defensive. Oh, no, I didn't mean that. You didn't hear me correctly. And their strategy is to kind of say, look, let's rewind this thing and let's look at this thing objectively. Then you'll see what I was really saying. Well, I'm trying to learn in my life to do this. Let's rewind this thing and allow me to hear my words through your ears and not my selfish filters, because I've got them. Don't you? There's a funny sign that you see in gift shops. And the sign says, when I married Mr. Wright, I didn't know that his last name was Always. Now, there are many wives in here that would love to display that sign in their homes. And they might be justified in displaying it. I don't know. But let's be real. As funny and as cute as that sign is, and I laugh at it too, it's also degrading. It's degrading the other spouse. Degrading one's spouse is not gender specific. Wives degrade husbands, and husbands degrade wives. I've seen plenty of wives verbally degrade their husband in public in front of other people. I've seen many husbands do the same thing. Haven't you? Haven't you? And when that goes on, I cringe and I think, what must be going on behind closed doors? I've seen brothers and sisters, I've seen sisters and sisters do that. Degrade one another as siblings. Haven't you? I've seen grown brothers and sisters do that. Haven't you? I cringed just a few weeks ago when one of my granddaughters published on one of those internet sites a video of one of her sisters making fun of her and calling her a demeaning name. And you know, that happens all the time today in our society electronically. We get to watch and see all the stuff that's going, all the garbage that's going on in everyone's lives, if you choose to watch it and see it. Now, there are many reasons why any of us in here would have those kinds of feelings. There's many reasons why we might react in those ways, but certainly one of the reasons, one of the root reasons, is we are guilty of envy. We may not realize that it's envy and jealousy that's driving us, but they are. Love does not envy. Love looks through a telescope. Envy looks through a microscope. Proverbs 14:30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Wise old Solomon wrote that in Ecclesiastes 4:4. He also said in Ecclesiastes 4:4, and I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Jesus spared no words. I mean, he really spared no words when he said in Mark 7, verse 21, for from within, from a man's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Wow. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And he said specifically in verse 29 of that chapter that one of those wickedness is envy. Love does not envy. Let's heap on some more guilt. This is fun, right? This is one of those memorable 3:16 verses in the Bible. There are a lot of great 3:16 verses in the Bible. This is from James. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Is that enough bad news for one sermon? I'm ready for some good news. Are you ready for some good news? Let's turn the corner. I'm going to give you two categories of good news. The first category is two cures for envy. And the second category is really a question. When is envy good? You ready? First, the first cure for envy is pray sincerely for the person of whom you are jealous. Let me ask you to ask yourself a question right now. Now be honest. Whom do you envy? Think about it. Who comes to mind? If a specific name did not come to your mind right now, I really question whether you have actually dwelt with the truth inside yourself. Because all of us are guilty of envying someone at some time or another. Whom do you envy? Is it someone who's better looking than you are? Is it somebody who can sing better than you can sing? Is it somebody who has a bigger, nicer, newer car than you do, or a bigger, nicer house than you do? Is it someone who's happy and you are not? Are they related to you by blood? Is it somebody who is continually in your face? You can't seem to get rid of them in your life. Maybe you work with them. You can't get away from it. Is it somebody here in this room right now? Someone here sitting around you that you envy. Whom do you envy? Pray for them. Sincerely pray for them. Celebrate what God has done in that person. Celebrate what God has provided for that person. Celebrate how God has blessed that person. That is an act of selfless love. To celebrate those things. And God has a way of changing our hearts. He will change your heart and He will turn your envy into love and respect for those people. He will give you what you should have given Him, and that is repentance. He will give you even more than that. He will give you forgiveness. That will set your feet to dancing. That may cure your ulcers and your high blood pressure and your arthritis, and that is no joke. That is a promise. And let me challenge you to go a step further. Ask God to show you someone whom you envy whose name did not come to your mind. Go home. Homework assignment. By the way, did you do your homework assignment last week? Attention. Acceptance, assurance, no show of hands. Your homework assignment. Lord, reveal to me someone that I envy that I didn't think about. Someone hidden from me in my consciousness. Something that's deep inside of me. You know what? For some of you, it may be your spouse. You love that person. You live with that person. And maybe you've lived with that person for decades and you would never consider living with anyone else, but you are not aware of the fact that you actually envy your spouse. The longer the relationship, whether it's family or whether it's friends or whether it's people in the church, people that you know and get to know better and better, the longer the relationship, the more likely it is that envy will come into your life and that you will somehow suppress that envy. And God can reveal it for you, and when He does, pray for them. Pray for them sincerely. Now that was cure number one for envy. Let's go to cure number two. So you're aware that you envy someone. If it is within your power to do it, serve them. Serve them. Help them. Minister to them. It might just be with kind words. It might be with a note card. It might be with a phone call. It may be cleaning their gutters. It may be going to dinner with them. I don't know, but serve them. Do something. Henrietta Mears wrote this. She said, "The man who keeps busy helping the man below him won't have time to envy the man above him." So get busy being a servant. If you don't have it within yourself to get rid of that covetousness and that jealousy and that envy, then pray for them and serve that person who's on your list. And that was the first part. That was two cures for envy. And I said I was going to give you an answer to the question, when is envy good? I'm going to close with this. Envy is good when a non-believer looks at you and sees in you Jesus and love and light and peace and contentment and a family of God. They look at you and they say, "I want what she has. I need what he has." But you know what they're really saying? "I want who she has. I want who he has." You have him. He has you. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy because there's really no need to. Let's pray. Lord God, as I said earlier, I pray that anything I may have spoken that is not of you will be forgotten. But Father, I pray anything that came through me from you this day will penetrate all of us. Help us, Lord. Help us to deal with that sin of envy and bring glory to you. Because, Lord, we have you in us, the light of the world. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.